All right, well, let's pray and we'll give it to Benny. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be together, even in this format, just to hear voices and sharing concerns, laughing, just the whole thing, Lord, that you've brought about. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that we have a relationship with you, forgiveness of our sins in Christ and a relationship with you. The opportunity to serve each other. Pray that we would do that. Thank you that we would do that, Lord. We pray for our people, so many different kinds of brokenness being experienced on a, you know, in a group like this, mostly not shared, but representative, all these requests are just representative of things going on, from health to broken relationships around us, from just seeing the world and societal problems, Lord, that just exists. And so we thank you for times that we gather together to look to you and to your word for encouragement, look to each other and just get that perspective, Lord, that this, none of this is surprising to you. And you have given us so many resources directly from you. And as this study is showing, so many resources that you've given as members of a community that you've designed uniquely to serve each other and the world. Thank you for that. Thank you for Benny's commitment to teaching that, understanding it, and pray that you teach through him today. In Christ's name, amen.
All right. Good morning. And it's great to be back with you in our fifth study on our Designed by God, and we took the last three weeks on spiritual gifts, and we're going to turn the corner now to our second major area of those five areas we're going to look at, and we're going to look at our God-given personality. Or when I talk through personality, I'm talking about your temperament, your God-given bent, you know, how God has designed you and made you naturally to respond to life, to think through things, to interact. I'm coming from the perspective that God has done this from the beginning. In his formation of you, in his design of you, that he has given you a certain personality, a certain makeup. And you can see that. We know that people are different. You know, it's pretty obvious that people are different, even twins. Pastor Mark Cushman, when I remember the first time I met his twin brother, if you didn't know he had a twin brother, he does. And he walked up and he said, "This is my brother." And then he said, "My twin." And I kind of looked at him because, one, they look very different. But secondly, it didn't take 2 minutes, much less five, for me to realize they are so different. And just interacting with them and talking with them, and then Mark telling me stories over the years. Even he and his twin are different, you know, and God is just, in his design, has decided there'd be great variety. And the second thing is just that at birth, we have that basic temperament, that personality that God has given us. I know that with Belinda and I, we have four children. And we saw that with each one of our four children. And in fact, with one Saturday morning for my third born, my second born daughter, that became very obvious at 9 months old. Now, before that, we knew she was very people-oriented. I mean, when anybody walked in the room, she was smiling and cooing or babbling. And we knew she was people-oriented, but we didn't know much else. But at 9 months old, almost 10, Catherine Hope, one Saturday morning, we're just relaxing around the house, and Catherine Hope was at this point pulling up and strolling around furniture, and she wasn't quite walking. She was almost there. She was she loved to get around. But this particular Saturday morning, she crawled over to one of these little buggies that children can push. And it was a pink little Tykes buggy. Maybe some of you have seen those. But anyway, and so she was going to pull up because she had seen her sister pushing it with the baby doll in it. and even the boys racing with it. And so in her mind, she wanted to pull up on it and push it. And so she crawls over to it and she starts pulling up on it, and she got almost there, and all of a sudden she lost her balance and fell over backwards, and the handle hit her on the head, and she started crying a little bit, and Belinda starts getting up, and I hold Belinda back and I say, hey, wait just a second, because I looked on her face. She wasn't crying because she got hit. She was mad that she didn't get up, and you could see it on that little face. And so I was like, hey, wait just a second. And she's kind of, you know, Belinda's trying to get up, and I'm like, wait just a second. And so she tries to pull up again and falls back down, and it hits her on the head again. And now I'm holding back Mom, you know, I'm holding back Belinda, and I said, let's give her a little more time. And so she pulls up a third time and almost gets there and falls over, and this time it falls down and hits her on the lip. And she's starting, you can tell her little face is red. She's just mad that she has not accomplished it. But Belinda's like, I'm up. I'm getting over here. This is three times in it. You know, you could see it kind of, her lip was red. And so I said, baby, let's give her one more shot at it. And so Captain Hope gets it. And this time she pulls up as fast as she can, and she gets there, and she starts prancing around, and she has her little head up, and she looks at us like, yeah, I did it. She's so proud. She accomplished that little task. And I looked at Belinda. I said, okay, she is relational, but she's very tenacious. She's going to work at whatever it takes to get something done. And we saw that in her personality. She kind of has that combination, and you could see it from the beginning of when she was born, that she has that relational side, but she's also tenacious and goal oriented, and she's going to accomplish those tasks. She's going to put her mind to it and work hard at it till she does it and does it well. And we've seen that play out in her life. Well, just a fun story, but to make a point that God has given us our personality, our temperament, really from birth. And we can see that when we look at life, and when we think about even our makeup and others around us, maybe a sibling, maybe even your own life when you think about it. Well, another statement that I wanted to actually put on here and talk through was the characteristics in our temperament or our personality. Those characteristics, they affect how we view life, how we respond to different circumstances, how we feel, how we naturally think about other people, and how we naturally think even about ourselves. Our temperament, our basic personality affects those things. In fact, our temperament or our personality affects all aspects of our life, such as how we make decisions, how we respond to other people, how we deal with conflict, how we engage with other people, how we communicate with other people, how we work to achieve goals, all of those things. Let's just think about a couple of these, you know, how we make decisions. We'll just go off of those four basic classical personality types and think through just a decision-making process. Some people, they're just going, let's just make a decision and get on with it, all right? I mean, why are we spending so much time talking about this? And, you know, what's the holdup? Let's just make a decision and get after it, all right? So that's kind of that one personality type. Well, another one, you know, they're like, hey, what does everybody think about this? What are y'all thoughts? And they're going around trying to get consensus, you know, what, you know, and maybe even influence the decision. And they want everybody kind of to be on board, and they're influencing the decision, and they will be ready to make it when they kind of get that consensus and everybody's with them. And then you have another personality. They're like, okay, so we're making this decision. Let's think through this. And they think through the pros and the cons and the consequences, the unintended consequences. They think through the cost, the benefits. They weigh it all out. And then the person that's over here, the first one, is like, dude, what are you doing? We should have made this decision 3 months ago. But this person's like, not yet. You don't even know what decision you're making, because they're thinking through all the different aspects and issues there. And then you have that last personality. It's like, you know, they just don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. They want to make sure that we make a good decision for the people, but they want to make sure that we don't really upset the apple cart in the sense that we don't really, and they may even procrastinate in making decisions because they don't want to displease whoever is above them or those people around them. And that's the four different temperament types, or maybe even our communication style. You know, that first one, they're just going to give you the bottom line. They're the shoot straight person. They're going to give you the bottom line and they would like receiving the bottom line. And so if you start telling them details, their eyes are going to glass over really fast and they're going to kind of look at you like, now what in the world are you trying to tell me? And it doesn't take long for them to get there, you know, and that's just that temperament. And then you have that second one and their communication style is more infectious. I mean, they're talking to you and they're explaining it and you start getting excited about it. You don't even know what you're excited about, but they're telling you all about the stuff and you're thinking about it. You're like, okay, now what do we need to do? I mean, what's the decision or what's going on here? And they just kind of got us all excited and they're just really good communicators and they inspire us. That's that second type temperament. And then you have the more detailed person and their communication style is going to be, okay, so we're talking about this and they're going to tell you the details in that day or in that decision or in that thing or what was going on. And they're going to communicate very detail oriented. So we turned right here and then we went here and then we went left and then we went here and they're going to give you the details of the story. And then you have, that last, one that tends to listen a whole lot more than they speak. They tend to be there and you feel supported and cared about and their communication style is not to say a whole lot, but when they do speak, it's usually pretty profound and something you need to listen to because they don't tend to do that much. And they're also not going to say a whole lot that would hurt anybody's feelings because again, that's their basic temperament. That's how they're wired. And so those again are those four different classical type temperaments. So you get it. There's different types of personalities and temperaments and those are how it affects us. Well, before we really dive in and start talking more about our personality or our temperament, I feel like the first thing we need to do is make sure that we have a biblical foundation for thinking through our personality and our temperament. And I'm going to first go to Psalm 139, 13 through 16. And we read this and studied it and talked through it the first week in our first study. And we'll come back to this, next week and several other times because this is a foundational passage on God's design of us. But I want to read it this time for you to think through personality and temperament. Just keep that in mind as we read through it. And talk through it just a minute here. Let's read Psalm 139, beginning with verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. And just thinking through our personality and temperament, that it's God who formed us, it's God who knitted us together, it's God who intricately wove us together, who fashioned us into his creation to be how he wanted us to be. God loves variety. You can look outside and see that through all his creation. Same way with people in his creation of people, that he loves variety and he's made us all different. He formed everything about us. He knitted us together. He intricately wove us together. Well, let's look at a few more verses. Psalm 119:73. Go with just God making us, God forming us, our personality and temperament. Your hands have made and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. So here again, we see it's the Lord God Almighty, Creator God, our Sovereign Lord, our King Eternal, our Heavenly Father has made us. He fashioned us. And that word fashioned is, that is, you think about it, you create something, you make it, but then you fashion it, you put it together, you weave it together, you make it together, you intricately weave it, as it said in the other passage. You are putting the details of that person together. And that's what this means, is putting the details together. He did that for you. He created you and made you with your basic temperament, just the way he wanted you, which is good. And then Isaiah 44, 24, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, who formed you from the womb. I am the Lord who made all things, who alone stretched out the heavens, who spread out the earth by myself. So Jehovah God, Yahweh God, the Lord God Almighty, our Redeemer, he formed us, he made us, he created us. He is the creator. And then Isaiah 64, 8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. So just that we would rest and know, and in our personality, temperament, and all our design, really in everything that we're talking about in this whole series, it's God. God is our Father. He's our good Father God. He's our creator, and he's the potter, and we're the clay. He's the one that forms and fashions us into that work of art, as we saw in Ephesians, that he is making us into, and that he has created us to be in Christ, and we're the work of his hand. And then Acts 17, 28, for in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. So it's in Christ. It's in the Lord God Almighty that we live and that we move, and we have everything in us. We have our being. We have our personality. It's who God is. He is our creator God, our heavenly Father. Well, it's important to know these things about the biblical truth, these foundational things in our personality, and just as a foundation for us studying this. Throughout time, Adam and Eve, I'm sure, looked at their children and said, wow, they are different. And it was pretty obvious they're different when we read the scriptures. And ever since then, you know, it's been acknowledged that people are different. And then people have taken a lot of time to just try to understand each other, to understand one another in order to relate well, in order to communicate well, in order to understand kind of what makes each one of us tick together. You can see this throughout history, and really every society in Asia and Africa and the Middle East and Western society, there was writings and things that have been found way, way, way back. In fact, Hippocrates, who is known as the father of medicine, way back in 460 to 370 BC, he had and wrote about the four different basic personality types and formulated that. Now, he used body fluids and other things from his medical understanding to try to help explain it, but he had those four different personality types, and this was way back in the time of Nehemiah and Malachi. I mean, this is a long time ago that there were writings just about temperaments, personalities, and understanding people. Well, one of the writings in studying personality and temperaments, go almost everything you study, and you may have studied this back in college in psychology, but way back, Galen of Pergamon, you know, he was just a Greek physician and philosopher, and in fact, he was in the Roman Empire and was the personal physician for many of the Roman emperors, and he was known as just one of the most fascinating written about, and had written lots of things about the body, person. He was a physician, and again, he was also, though, a philosopher. And he's the one that came up and coined those four classical personality types that you probably read throughout your life and read about throughout time, of just those four different major areas. The sanguine, which is that first one I talked about, well, the second one, really the outgoing, relational, talkative, extroverted person, and then the choleric, And that's that task-oriented doer, kind of that bottom line person. They're extrovert, she or he is, but they're also, they like that bottom line. So that's the choleric. And then the melancholic, they're more analytical thinkers, calculating, more introverted. And then the phlegmatic, which is that stable, steady person, cautious. They value deep relationships. They're more introverted. But those are those same four personality types that most things that we study today and most things, they come out of that and then they develop more from those. But just a little bit of just going historically, this has been studied and continues to be studied. And in fact, there are many, many different assessment tools out there, and you can name 10 more than these four, but these are four that are kind of popular today in different places. The Myers-Briggs, you know, a lot of business orientation there, or helping people, even students try to decide where they're going to college or what vocation to go in or whatever. The Myers-Briggs has been used in so many different settings over the years, and was developed in the 1900s from two Americans, Catherine Cook Briggs and Isabel Briggs Myers. And they have four different major areas, but then they developed it into 16 different personality types when you combine those. And many of you, like I said, have done that. But, and then you have the Enneagram of personality. And this one has gained a lot of popularity in the last 10 or 15 years in the Christian circles because several authors have taken the classical Enneagram and started developing it out of interest for just helping people understand one another. It really originated, best we know, in the 4th century from a mystic, and that mystic's name was Evagrius Ponticus. But then in the 1950s, it kind of jumped back in popularity from Oscar Escazo, and then others developed it. But it has 9 different interrelated personality types, and they're known by their number. You know, even today, maybe I know my children brought it home a few years ago, and we all took a little test, and they said, you know, Dad, what number are you? And I went, if there's 9, I'm probably 9. You know, I don't know. You know, and they're like started laughing, said, no, we think you're a 3, or you're a this, or you're a that. We took it, and it was fun, but that's kind of a popular thing nowadays. And then you have the Gary Smalley and John Trent personality inventory. And this takes those four classic personality types and it assigns an animal. It's really a fun assessment tool. You can take it online. It's free. But they use it. They're psychologists and do a lot of counseling and teaching. You know, you probably know them and have read their books or whatever, but these are like the four different animals they use are a lion, an otter, a golden retriever, and a beaver. And those have those characteristics of the sanguine, choleric, melancholic, phlegmatic, but they put their own flavor and own information on there. And then we have the DISC profile, which is the one I sent you. And, we're going to use this one for the 2 weeks we have. It's one that's fairly easy to take. But yet it has a lot of information that you can gain quickly to apply to your relationships in your life. So that's why we're utilizing, the DISC, temperament profile. That was created by a Harvard lawyer and a psychologist, William Marston in 1928. You may know him as the father of the polygraph, or maybe you know him as the creator of Wonder Woman. How about that? He had a lot of different things about him, but he was a very renowned psychologist and studier of people, and he did the DISC, and then others had developed it over time, and really there are 16 different patterns that you can go through in a more detailed DISC study than what we're doing, but just thought I'd give you some historical and some current things on this. The reality is that we just know that people have different personalities, that we're all different and we're made different. And also understanding personalities will really help us relate better to one another at work or in our neighborhood or in our families. And, we just, can communicate better when we understand basic temperaments. We're can understand one another, and we can be more unified as a church and to accomplish the kingdom of God as we understand that people are different, not bad, just different. It really helps us. And then one statement is that really not understanding other people often leads to misunderstanding other people. And so it's important that we would understand one another. Well, let's talk through some principles here as we study this. And next week, we're going to talk through how to really understand your personality, your temperament. We're going to go deep into that. But today, I wanted to hit these principles because I think they're important. The three words I'm going to use is aware, accept, and appreciate. So we need to be aware of some things. As I've said it already about five times, we need to be aware that God designed and made you and each person just as he wanted for his glory, and that there's no best personality type and there's no worse personality types. It's all God's design. God's made all things well. Now, yes, we're in a fallen world and we still contend with our flesh. We're still growing and maturing in Christ. It's not saying we're perfect, but yet he has made each one differently for a purpose, and that's really, really good. We need to know our temperament, know your temperament, know your strengths and weaknesses in order to be who God designed you to be and to walk in step with the Holy Spirit in your life. Really knowing your natural temperament, where your downfalls would naturally be, can help us walk in the Spirit. It can help us fulfill those things that God's called us to do. It can surely help us minister to other people well. Understanding and be aware, understanding and embracing that every temperament type is needed and important to glorify God and to further his kingdom on earth. That's so important that when people are different, especially those who are the opposite of us, so often we can not think that that temperament style is very good. And is it really needed? Probably not here, but it is. You know, we need to understand and embrace it, that God himself has given each one and that every temperament is needed. And we also need to know the personality type of those who we're closest to in order for you to relate well to them, to have accurate expectations on them, to love them in a way that they know it. It's one thing to love those around you, but if they don't know it, you know, how does that work? They need to know it, and understanding how they receive love and or how they receive being communicated to best, and we communicate to them in that way, it really, really helps us. And whether it's our family members, you know, whether it's our friends or our work, you know, those we work with, all of the above. I remember right after I got out of college, I went on staff with Briarwood here with Campus Outreach as it was getting started. And Curtis Tanner was my boss, and he's different than I am. And it didn't take but about 6 months for me to frustrate him and him to frustrate me. And I remember one morning I was praying through my frustrations with Curtis because I was trying to communicate and do things and talk to him about one way, and he seemed to be doing the other way, and it just frustrated me. So I remember praying about it. I was having a quiet time and talking to the Lord and telling him kind of my frustrations and asking him, you know, how to deal with it. And I probably was asking him to change Curtis. I don't know. Probably so, because I was growing so much in the Lord and in this area especially. And God hit me as the way the Holy Spirit will do when you're really praying and trying to listen. And it's as if he said it out loud. He didn't, but he impressed on me this thought. You're expecting Curtis to serve you. You're expecting him to relate to you and serve you in how he deals with you. I'm calling you to serve him. I'm calling you to serve and relate to him how he needs to be related to. In your reporting, in your communication, you need to study and know how is best to communicate to him and serve him. Wow. I confessed I was self-centered wasn't my first time and surely wasn't my last time in how I related to him. And I learned so much that day, early on, that I needed to be looking at how other people are wired and made in order to relate well to them. And I needed to be aware of that in order to serve them and to care for them in a way that I needed to. Well, we also need, related to this and some of the similar comments, we need to accept some things. We need to accept who God has designed you to be and live in light of this with faith and joy and with intentionality. And so we need to make sure that we embrace that design of how God created us and not be living in the world where we wish we were different. Instead, we need to embrace it because it's how God made us, and then ask him to continue to work on us and develop us. Well, also we need to accept how God designed other people and their differences in how they interpret life and respond to circumstances and how they communicate with us. You know, Romans 14, 1 through 15, 7 has great things about accepting other people. I'd encourage you to study that sometime. Good passage to read on this. But we need to make sure that we're accepting other people as well. And then we need to accept the truth of Psalm 139:14 that we just read about ourselves and about other people. Remember what it said? Remember that verse 14 said, I praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. Does your soul know very well that God has fearfully and wonderfully made you? That you trust him and his design and how he wired you and how he made you? We need to be trusting in the Lord for how he made us and how he made other people around us. Sure, they may rub us wrong sometimes, but that should teach us a whole lot about ourselves and not just the focus on them. But let's accept the truth of God. And then also we need to accept the fact that God is the perfect creator, and we need to live with faith in him and faith in his scripture, and then live with peace in Christ as we relate to those, especially those in our circle of relationships that we relate to a lot. We need to trust the Lord in those relationships and accept how he made us, and then appreciate. We need to understand that God in his wisdom created people differently, intentionally, for his glory. It was his design to make people different. We need to embrace the fact that each person is God's work of art, as in that Ephesians 2 passage we read, and whom he has he has designed them with a custom design. And then we need to own the fact that different is not bad or wrong. It's just different, as I said before. We need to encourage others. We need to encourage others to be who God designed them to be and appreciate the difference. We need to live with others and understand, with understanding. We need to live with others and pursue peace. And then we need to live with others with joy, with patience. Ultimately, all of that comes out of loving other people the way that Christ loved us. We need to appreciate others and appreciate all that God's doing in order to do this. Well, here's a few additional thoughts on this that I'd like to share with you today. Well, you may be thinking, Benny, you said I'm the same as I was when I was born, but I'm not the same as I was in high school. Do I hear an amen? Praise the Lord, I'm not the same I was in high school. Yes, the fact is we are maturing. We are growing. Some of us became a Christian after high school. That radically changes our life because of the Holy Spirit in us. I became a Christian at 16. But thank the Lord that we do mature and grow, but it's our basic temperament that stays the same. Also, as we study through our personality, let's remember our study on our spiritual gift. And these things interwove. Your spiritual gift can influence how you relate to other people in a different way. You don't just relate out of your temperament or personality. Your spiritual gifts affect how you interact with other people. Your heart, passions that God's given you change how you interact. Your different talents and skills and abilities, or your God-given sovereign experiences that you've had in your life, we'll study that. They affect how you interact with other people. So your personality isn't the only thing that affects how you relate. All five of these do. So make sure that we keep those five things in mind as we study through your temperament, your personality. And we do need to remember that the Holy Spirit is in us, and He is perfecting us into the image of Christ. You think about Jesus. You know, I had somebody ask me one time, what temperament do you think Jesus was? I said, He was the best of everyone. You know what I mean? He's the Lord God Almighty. He's the best of everything. And the Holy Spirit is shaping us and making us and conforming us into the image of Christ. And so those hard-nosed, bottom-line people become a lot more softer, should, as they walk with Christ and walk in the love of Christ. And they should become a whole lot more understanding and growing in that. Or those who are quieter and don't want to share their wisdom very much because they don't want to hurt people's feelings, all of a sudden they're more apt to share because the Holy Spirit is giving them that unction or that ability, that confidence. You could take Eve one. But the Holy Spirit grows us up to be more like Jesus. So that affects how our personality comes out in our life. And then as God shapes you, remember that you will always have that basic temperament. That is important to know because we do have basic strengths that we want to utilize, but we also have basic weaknesses that we want to ask God to help us be aware of so that we are able to make sure the Spirit of God is in control of those things. If some of us speak too quickly, then we need God to temper our tongue. Whatever our weaknesses might be, we want the Lord. We want to know that so we could really walk in the Spirit and walk encouraging others. And do not try to change your personality, your basic temperament. Yes, we want to grow in Christ, but don't try to change who God made you or change someone else's personality to be who you want them to be. That'll just frustrate you. That'll just, you know, whether it's somebody, your neighbor or somebody you work with, and you're trying to change them in your mind, you may not change them outwardly, or they're an employee and you're trying to change their basic temperament. Instead, try to help them be who God has created them to be in their basic temperament and utilize their gifts and their strengths. We don't need to be about changing other people. That'll just breed frustration because that just won't happen. That's the thing. It just doesn't happen. And then also we know that opposites, you may have heard this, opposites can attract, you know, they often do, but then often they can also attack, you know, we can have those struggles with those who are opposite of us. Well, that's really my thoughts for our lesson today in our different personality and our makeup and how God designed us. Informed us, and we have these things that we want to be aware of, we want to accept, we want to appreciate, and of God's makeup of us. I would encourage you, if you haven't had the opportunity yet, to do that DIS temperament survey that I emailed to you a couple of times. It probably takes 15 minutes. For some, it may take 10. Some, it may take 20, depending on your temperament. But go ahead and take it. And then I'd encourage you to read through for next time in 2 weeks from now, read through those different interpretations of it. That's what we're going to talk about and see if you agree with it. We're going to discuss that in a couple weeks at our have the missionary next week. And then also, this is something a little harder. I've asked you in the very beginning to do the study of our design, our shape, with other people, at least one other person. I'd encourage you to get somebody to take that DIS survey for you. Tell them, hey, it doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. Just do it. I'm just interested in what you would come up with, and then talk through it with them. And then the growth work was on the outline I sent you. You can do that. I would encourage you, if you really want to go deeper in this whole study, that growth work each week is going to help you just get a fuller understanding and to really go deeper in each one of these topics. Well, in just a second after we pray, I'm going to close us in prayer. We may sing a hymn, I think, John. And then I would love for us to have some discussion on this, on our personality. I'd love to hear yours, hear your different personality and what you came up with, and then any thoughts or questions that you may have. So let me close us in prayer, and then, John, I'll turn it back over to you. Father, thank you so much for all your blessings, and thank you, God, for the reality that you have made us and you have formed us just the way that you would want us to be. God, thank you that you saved us, and that your Holy Spirit, that you live in us, and as we walk by your Spirit, you're continuing to conform us into the image of Christ. We thank you so much for that. But we do want to know how we're wired and how others are around us, that we would relate to one another and be able to truly serve one another, be able to love one another well, and just help us with the study this week and throughout the rest of the weeks, that we would be able to really understand how you wired us, that we might serve you and glorify you in our life, and we would encourage others to do the same thing. And thank you for each person here. I pray your blessings on them. I pray that you would encourage them and strengthen them. I pray you would protect them and watch over them. Do pray for Dickie as he fights through the coronavirus. Protect him and watch over him. And pray for others that have different health needs and are working through those. God, thank you again for this time. And we pray you'll bless our the rest of our day. In Christ's name, amen.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy Spirit till all shall see Christ only all.